All right, so today we're going to conclude in our Encounters with Jesus series. And, you know, we've been talking about these different people that had encounters with Jesus in the Gospels. And what we're basing this on is like an encounter with Jesus can change your life. I truly believe that, and hopefully you do too, an encounter with Jesus can change your life. Hopefully it has changed your life. I mean, you're in church today, and so apparently there's something that's happened. And and so we've been looking at these different people in the Gospels and seeing these different encounters with Jesus and what it's done for them in their life. First week we talked about Zacchaeus and the rich young man and saw how they both had the same encounter with Jesus, but one of their lives changed and one didn't. The first one, Zacchaeus, you know, he went from being a known thief to being a generous giver. And when he had his encounter with Jesus, his heart changed. And I believe that when we truly have an encounter with Jesus and we respond in faith to him, that he will change your life. Thank you for that one amen right there. He will change your life. But there's people that have encounters with Jesus, like the rich young man, and that he responded in a different way because he had lots of money and he didn't want to get rid of it. And so he decided to choose the God of money over Jesus. And the Bible says that he walked away sad. And so it's not so much if we have an encounter with Jesus, because I believe that you will have an encounter with Jesus at some point in your life. I truly believe that that's the heart of God, and that he loved the world so much that he gave, and that he is pursuing each and every person, and that he will make sure that you have some kind of encounter with him. But it's our response to that encounter depends if our lives are changed or not. The second week we talked about John the Baptist and talked about how, you know, he was doing his mission. He was living for God. But when the Messiah came on the scene, he realized and he made this statement. He says, he must increase and I must decrease. Jesus must become more important, and I must become less. And that's the way we need to respond in an encounter with Jesus, is that we need to realize that as I put Jesus, Lord, in my life, he must increase. And my selfishness, my desires, my will need to decrease in my life. Last week we talked about the woman with the issue of blood and looked at the scriptures about healing. And I believe that healing is still available to us today. I believe that the same the act on the cross that brought us salvation brought us our healing as well. And not just a spiritual healing, but a physical healing. I believe he can bring emotional healing in our lives, and that he paid the price for those things on the cross for us as well. And so today, as we look at the last encounter, I want to look into the life of Peter. Peter is one of my favorite disciples. You're not supposed to have favorites, but you know, I do anyway. We all have favorites, right? And so Peter's one of my favorite disciples because he was all in. I mean, no matter what, I mean, he was in it. You know, there was nothing that was going to stop him. And as you look over the Gospels and even into the book of Acts and just seeing the life of Peter, because he was a common fisherman. He didn't deserve to be a disciple. He didn't have the education. He didn't go through the processes of being a disciple for a rabbi. But when Jesus called him, he was like, okay, I'm in. And so he walked away from his business to become a disciple. And so he was with Jesus for 3.5 years and saw the miracles. He saw all that Jesus was doing, and he was amazed by the work of God in Jesus' life. And so the story that we're going to look at happens further into the ministry of Jesus. And, you know, Peter's been hanging out with him for a while now. And Peter has this encounter that no one else has ever had with Jesus. And we find this in Matthew chapter 14. We see the disciples and Jesus going around. Jesus is teaching and doing all these things. And just before this happens, it's the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And they just saw this awesome miracle about Jesus feeding 5,000 people, you know. And I wish, you know, that Jesus would do those kind of miracles all the time, you know, where, you know, you have a big group of people and like, okay, just bring up what you got and we'll feed everybody, you know. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it feels, you know, especially if you have a bigger family, you're just like, Lord, multiply this, you know, so we can feed everybody. And so they just saw this miracle. And so we're going to go in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples to get into a boat and head on ahead of him to the other side. And while he dismissed the crowd, and after he dismissed them, he went up to the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was alone there. And the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said. And they all cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." Then Peter got down out of the boat, and he walked on water and came towards Jesus. But then he saw the wind, and he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. He says, "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed back into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Now, I don't know anybody else that's walked on water. And has anybody in here ever walked on water? I don't think any of us have. You know, I've been fishing a lot. I've been in lots of boats and jumped off lots of boats. Never once did I stop on the surface of the water. Every single time I go underwater when I step out of a boat. And so this was one of those cool moments in that we see in the Bible. And like Peter got this thing. There was something supernatural that happened here. And you know, when you start talking about supernatural, people start getting a little weird about it. You know what I'm saying? You know, and supernatural just means an event attributed to something, to some force beyond scientific understanding or the laws of nature. So anything that happens abnormally, you know, we can say that is supernatural. And people start getting weird when you start talking about supernatural stuff. Now, for some reason, people love, like, the paranormal stuff. You know, how many of y'all watch, like, the ghost shows, like the haunted house thing, and, like, people are going around with the cameras, and anybody watch those? That's fascinating stuff, you know, just things that are abnormal. You're just like, oh, that's really cool. But for some reason, when you start talking about supernatural, when it comes to the Bible, people start getting weird on you. Just like, well, I don't know. Oh, I don't know about that. And I've heard lots of people try to explain away how Peter walked on water. He said, well, there was just some rocks right underneath the surface of the water that he was stepping on. And then he just kind of stepped off of one and started to sink, so Jesus had to save him. And people have tried to explain this according to science and the laws of nature. But I believe that God does the supernatural. All right, some of you are with me today. That's good. I believe that God does the supernatural because he does things that are beyond our understanding. He does things beyond our science and our laws of nature. And that God put all those in place, but God is not bound by science and nature. He can go above and beyond that. And so something supernatural happened here for Peter to be able to walk on water. And with all of these encounters that we've talked about, I've kind of asked two questions as I was preparing and studying. First one is like, why did this encounter happen? What was the purpose behind this? What was the purpose behind this? And then how did it change the person who had the encounter? See, the first 3 weeks it was pretty easy, you know, with Zacchaeus. I mean, the purpose of that was to bring salvation to him and his household. And that was the purpose of that encounter. With John the Baptist, the encounter that he had when he baptized Jesus and the Holy Spirit descended like a dove, there was a voice from heaven that said, "This is my Son, who I'm well pleased." You know, it was that time when John the Baptist realized, okay, it's time for me to step back and let Jesus take the main stage. And that was the purpose on that one. The woman with the issue of blood, she'd been bleeding for 12 years, and the purpose of that encounter was to bring healing to her body and to change her life. But on this one, I had to think about it a little bit. What was the purpose of Peter walking on water? Like, Jesus, why did you do this? What did it accomplish for Peter to be able to walk on water? So he could brag to all of his, hey, I'm the only one here that's walked on water, so I don't want to hear it from you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that I'm sure that there was a lot of arguments that he ended like that. Hey, I walked on water. What have you done? You know what I'm saying? And so I'm like, just what was the purpose? Why? Why did this happen for Peter? Why did Peter get to walk on water? You know, why did God do the supernatural in this moment for Peter? And man, I thought about that, and I looked in the scripture, and I'm like, man, I don't know why. And I was like, God, why did you do this? Because here's the thing, Peter knew. Peter knew that it was impossible for him to walk on water, right? He was a fisherman. I'm sure there's many times that he stepped off a boat. Never once did he walk on water. So Peter knew that he can't walk on water. But the thing is, he asked anyway, didn't he? He asked anyway. Listen to this. You know, they saw him. It's a ghost. He said, "Take courage. It's I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out on the water." Jesus said, "Come." Now, was Peter really questioning if this was Jesus or not? I don't think he was. I think he knew it was Jesus, and that because if he had any doubt in his mind that that was Jesus telling him to come, he wouldn't have stepped out of that boat, right? I don't think he would have. But he knew, because as the scripture said, I mean, there's waves hitting the boat. The wind was against them. I mean, it was not ideal swimming situation, okay? It's dark outside. Lots of waves, lots of wind going on. You know, I'm not stepping out of a boat, all right? And so what we see here is that Jesus is doing something for Peter. See, he knew that God, with God, all things are possible. That's why he was willing to do this. That's why he was willing to step out of the boat. But verse 33 gives us the reason of why this thing happened. So then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." See, there's times in our lives that Jesus does the supernatural for us, not necessarily to prove to us that who he is, but so that we can worship him, so that there be glory that's brought to him. There's a story in the New Testament to where, you know, this man, he was born blind, and so the disciples asked him, like, you know, whose sin caused this? Was it his sin? Was it his parents' sin? And Jesus replied, "No, it was not. This is not about sin. It's so that the Son of Man can be glorified, so that people can see the glory of God." And I believe there's times that God does the supernatural in our lives so that we can see the glory of God. How many of y'all need sometimes a reminder just how awesome God is? Sometimes I need a reminder. You know, you're in the middle of the storm, you're fighting, man, you're carrying on, and you just sometimes you just start to lose heart, sometimes you start to lose faith, and God will show up with the supernatural and you're like, "Oh man, God, you're just so awesome." And it's amazing how God will come in and he will do something in the middle of the storm just to remind us, just so that we could worship him again in the middle of the storm. And I believe that was the purpose of this walking on the water. It wasn't so that Peter could prove that he's the best disciple. It wasn't, you know, Jesus choosing Peter over the rest of him. He did it to show his glory to the disciples. And they worshiped him and said, "Truly, this is the Son of God." So the question is, can you trust God with the impossible in your life? See, last week we talked about the mountains in our life. There's things in our life that just seem impossible. It's like, man, there's no way that I'm going to make it through this. There's no way that my marriage is going to make it. There's no way that this is going to happen. And there seem to be these immovable mountains in our life. But see, God is the God of the impossible. He is not bound by your situation. He is the all-powerful God. He is the all-knowing God. And there's nothing that can stop him when he's ready to do something. But there's sometimes that we need to step out in faith to see the glory of God in our life. Now, I'm not going to step off the stage because I'll fall and hurt myself. But there's sometimes that we've got to take that step of faith, and then God shows up. That God will place that thing in your life to step on it. See, notice when God does things, he doesn't give you the full plan. See, when I plan something, I want to plan all the way to the end. I want to know what's going to happen. I need to know each step of the way. And I like to make plans, and I'm very precise in those kind of things. God doesn't work that way. He knows the plan, but he doesn't give it to us. He wants us to trust him. And sometimes he asks you to take a step of faith that you don't understand. Well, God, why do you want me to do that? Why would you want me to? What is the purpose? That's my God. What was the purpose of this? Why do you want me to do this? Show me the next step. Where are we going with this, God? And God said, just take the step. Come on, dummy, just take the step. Watch me show up. And then once you take that step, he'll show you the next step, and then the next step. And then it's called faith. It's trusting in him, trusting in His plan, trusting in what He wants to do in your life. But there's too many people that are scared to step out of the boat. They're too scared to step out of their comfort zone to be able to do what God's asked them to do. See, lots of times God will put in our heart something that we see way off in a distance. Like when God called me into ministry, that was something that was in the distance, and that I was going to preach and I was going to do all this stuff, and I looked at my life, I'm like, God, you're crazy. I can't do that. I'm bashful. I'm shy. I don't like to talk in front of people. Y'all don't believe that now, do you? But I mean, that's who I was. And I saw that in the distance. I'm like, God, how are you going to get me there? I can't do that. But I took a step of faith. And as I take steps of faith, He grows me. And He wants to grow you. But you've got to be willing to step out of the boat sometimes. You've got to be willing to take that step of faith. That's what I love about going on missions trips, is I get to see people beforehand. You know, we're a week and a half out of our mission trip, and we had a meeting last week, and we were talking about things and just seeing the reservations in people, and just like, well, what about this? What about this? What about this? And but people are willing to take that step of faith. Let me tell you something. Some of the people that are the most nervous before going on the mission trip change the most on the trip because they're taking a step of faith. What if, what if, what if? I don't know, but I'm stepping anyway. And they step. And God does something in their life. And it's amazing the transformation in people as we trust in Him. So can we trust God when He calls us out of the boat? Can we trust God when He calls us out of our comfort zone to do something that we are not equipped to do? See, I'm not equipped to do this right here. This is not me right here. This is the power of God in my life doing this. Like, if you knew me, I was about to say 10 years ago, but I've been doing that longer than, I hate to think about those numbers sometimes. If you'd have known me 20 years ago, you would have never thought I'd been right here. But here's the thing. When God calls you out, He empowers you to do the work. He doesn't wait till you're empowered and you're trained and you're ready to go. No, He said, go ahead and take the step and I'll empower you as we go. See, fear is one of the biggest adversaries of our faith. How many times did we not take that step of faith because of fear in our life? Because of that fear of the unknown. Well, if I do that, will God show up? That's always been the big question in my life. If I do this, are you actually going to show up and do something? If I take this step of faith, is it actually going to accomplish something? Or am I just going to look dumb? And I think that's one of the biggest fears of getting out of our comfort zone, is that what if this doesn't work? What if I make the wrong decision? Let me tell you something. There's many times that I was stepping out in faith, but it wasn't God, and I fell on my face. But you know what? I got back up, and I said, God, I'm going to trust you again. I messed up this one, but man, let's do it again. You know, God, I'm listening. Tell me what you need me to do. But the thing is, we've got to be willing to step out of the boat. Don't let fear hold you back. See, if you look into this story, this is a very interesting story because, you know, if we put ourselves in this story and think about it, you know, they've been ministering. They came across the Sea of Galilee, and they were on the shore, and as soon as they hit the shore, there's people there, and Jesus goes up on the side of the mountain and begins to teach that morning. And they're there all day long. And I mean, and the disciples are like, hey, Jesus, it's getting dark, you know, it's getting late, you know, maybe you should send the people to the town to eat. Jesus like, nah, we'll feed them, it's cool. What do you mean we're going to feed them? It cost us $1,000, you know, it'd be more now. You're feeding 5,000 people. It's going to cost us a lot of money to be able to feed them. And so Jesus works the miracle of feeding the 5,000, and they ministered all day long. And then after they were done and Jesus is dismissing the crowd, He said, guys, get in the boat and row back to the other side of the sea. Now, I don't know about you. Have you ever tried to row a boat across the sea? I've never tried to do this. I've got out on Grish Ferry Lake in a kayak, you know, and you get tired pretty quick. You know, and so there, I mean, if you see the Sea of Galilee, I mean, it's several miles wide. And this is at the end of a long day of ministry, and Jesus said, get in the boat and go back to the other side. Now, you're like, oh, Jesus, are you serious? Let me come on. Can we take a nap or something? And so they get in, and they're rowing the boat. The wind's against them. The waves are beating them, and they're tired. They're exhausted. And they look up, and they see this figure walking toward them like, My goodness, it's a ghost. When I get tired, I get a little delirious. My mind starts playing tricks on me, and I start seeing things and hearing things. And you know, this is where the disciples were. And so they look up, and they saw this figure walking to them. Like, it's a ghost. Why today, of all days, are we going to see a ghost out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee? What's going on? And Jesus calls out, "Take courage, for it is I. Do not be afraid." See, they were in that moment of fear. They were tired. They were probably hungry. They were scared. And that's when Jesus calls Peter out of the boat. Notice it wasn't when he was well rested and well fed and he was in his right mind when Jesus called him out. There's a lot of times when we're tired and worn out, Jesus is going to say, "Come on, let's go do this thing." And you're just like, really? Right now? And that's when he didn't allow the fear, the tiredness to overwhelm him, and he stepped out of the boat. But see, when Jesus calls you out, he empowers you to do the work. This isn't the first time that we see this in Scripture, and that God asked someone to do something that they weren't equipped to do, but he empowered them to do this. If we look into the story in Luke chapter 10, you know, this is another one of those stories to where, you know, Jesus has been in ministry for a long time, and he's had this following coming around with him, and they've just kind of been the people that's the support group. You know, they've been there, and they were helping feed people, and they were there to help minister to people. But then look at this in Luke chapter 10. He said, "After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two ahead of him in the towns and the places where he was about to go." And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Isn't it funny? It's funny to me that he sent them out, and then he said, "Pray for some workers." Sometimes we're the answer to our own prayer. God, send somebody. Okay, that's your job. God's sending you to do it. That's not my point in this, but he said, "Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, and send out workers into the harvest field. Go, I am sending you like lambs among wolves." Verse 8, he told him, says, "When you enter a town and you are welcome there, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them that the kingdom of God has come near to you. But when you enter the town and they don't welcome you, go into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe off from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is coming near.'" Now listen to what he asked them to do. He said, "When you go into the town and they welcome you, eat whatever they offer you, and heal their sick." Hang on a second. Have you ever healed a sick person? Have they ever healed a sick person? They've watched Jesus do it 100 times. They've been following him around. They've seen him do it. Now all of a sudden, "All right, I want you to go in here and I want you to pray for the sick and heal them." And they're probably like, "What are you talking about? That's your job, Jesus. I can't heal people." And so he asked them to do something that was not within their ability. And when God calls you to something, he empowers you to do that thing. He's never going to call you to do something that he's not going to help you do. And I think that's the biggest fear that we have is like, okay, if I step out on faith, God, are you going to show up? Is your power going to show up? See, God wants to do the supernatural through your life. God wants to use you to heal the sick. God wants to use you to mend the brokenhearted. He wants to use you in the supernatural. Are we willing to trust God to do the supernatural in our lives? That's the question. And see, that's what I'm talking about. People start getting a little like, "Oh, I don't know about this, man. This is beyond my ability. I don't know. I can't do that." I know Peter can't walk on water. The disciples can't heal people. But you know what? It happened anyway. Are you willing to trust? Let's jump down to verse 17. They go out and they do their thing. It says, "The 72 returned with joy and said, 'Lord, even the demons submitted to us in your name.'" They were excited. I mean, they're like, Jesus, you won't believe what happened. We prayed for people and they got healed. We prayed for people and demons left. I mean, they were subject to us as we used your name. And I mean, they were excited, like, oh, Jesus, I can't believe this happened. Listen to Jesus' response to this. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from the heavens. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the powers of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. There's a powerful statement here. There is a powerful statement here. He said, I've given you authority. See, it's not in the authority of Joe that I do anything. It's by the name of Jesus. See, there's power in the name of Jesus. That's where the power's at. The power's not in this pulpit. The power's not in what we do. It's not in our efforts. But when we step out in faith in the name of Jesus, the power of God shows up. Did you know that the power of God's already on the inside of you? Did you know that? See, when you got saved, the Holy Spirit came to reside on the inside of you. That's the living power of God. The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. The power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. It's on the inside of you already. It's that untapped potential that's on the inside of you. And it's not until we are willing to step out of the boat, step out in faith, till that power becomes active in our life. See, it's our faith that activates the power of God. It's standing on God's word, on His promises, that activates the power of God in your life. The reason that they could heal the sick is because they trusted in what Jesus said to them. And they said, okay, let's do it. Let's do this thing. And they were willing to go out. And they came back like, Jesus, you won't believe this. The demons were subject to us in your name. And see, this is the power that's on the inside of each and every Christian. Now, I'm not saying that you just go out and you just start trying to touch people and heal everybody. That's not what I'm trying to say. It's not at your disposal. But it's when God asks you. See, there's times, and we know this, that you're at work and you're going along and you're doing your thing, and all of a sudden God's like, hey, go pray for that person. Go talk to that person. Go love, go buy that person lunch. Go do this, go do that. He's asking you to step out of the boat. He wants to do the supernatural through you. Are you willing to trust Him? Or are you going to allow that fear of what's going on around you, the wind and the waves, and people are going to think I'm weird if I do this, and who cares? If you want to see the supernatural in your life, you've got to be willing to put past the fears and step out of the boat. Step out in faith in what God wants in your life. See, when He calls you out, He empowers you to do the work. Can you trust God to empower you when He asks you to step out? Are you willing to trust Him? So what changed in Peter? We see what happened here. We kind of see what God was working towards, but what changed in Peter at this point? I mean, he was already a disciple. He was already doing stuff. I mean, he was already all in. And so what did this do for Peter? See, this was a faith-building moment for Peter. Have you ever had one of those faith-building moments to where God shows up in your life and does something amazing? You're just like, God, you're just so awesome. I mean, there's no way this could have happened without you and your power showing up to do the supernatural. But listen what happened, what Peter said in this story. He said, if it is you, tell me to come out onto the water to you. And he said, come. See, as we experience God's power in our life, we become more sure of who God is. And it solidifies our faith. See, this was a faith-building moment for Peter. Peter never forgot that day that he walked on water. If I ever walk on water, I'm going to tell everybody that I know. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's like, what else are you going to talk about in life? I mean, really, like, going along, you know, how are you doing today? Yeah, the other day I walked on water, you know. And it's not because of me, Jesus. Like, Jesus called me out and He told me to do this. I mean, what else are you going to talk about? And so this moment helped define some things in the life of Peter. It solidified his faith. I mean, he already knew that Jesus was the Son of God, but man, when God does something amazing in your life, you're just like, there's no way I can deny that. You know, as we experience the power of God in your life, you know, there comes a point where you're just like, there's nobody that can talk me out of this thing. I don't care if you have the smartest person on the world try to prove to me that God doesn't exist. There's no way that can do it. Why? Because I've experienced God's power in my life. It's changed my life. God's done the supernatural for me. He's done things that were completely impossible, and he's proven himself to me faithful over and over and over and over again in my life. There's no way that I can deny this. And this was one of those moments for Peter, because a couple chapters later, I don't know how much longer later it was, but that happened in Matthew 14. This is Matthew 16. So it's two chapters later. There's no guide to tell me how long, like, it, you know, five scriptures is 2 years, you know. It's not in the Bible, okay? And so anyway, so Matthew chapter 16, we see this scene to where Jesus is sitting around talking to his disciples, and you know, he just asked them the question, who do people say that I am? Well, some say that you're John the Baptist, you're, you know, Elijah, you're one of the prophets. Verse 15, Jesus said, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? Who do you think is the first one to say something? The dude that walked on water? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. Notice what happened, what in that last one. Matthew 14, 33. After this happened, it says, then Jesus and those who were in the boat worshipped him and said what? Truly, you are the Son of God. See, there's times in life that God's going to prove himself to you. He's going to prove himself faithful to his word. He's going to show you the supernatural in your life. And it's to solidify your faith, because there's going to be coming a time in your life to where that's going to be questioned. And you've got to think back. You've got to think back to the times that God was faithful in your life, to where God brought you out of your sin, brought you out of your addiction, that he restored your marriage, that he restored your family, that he did all of these things in your life, and someday that's going to be in question. And you're going to think back, hang on a second, I was once addicted. I was once addicted to drugs so deep that I couldn't get out of it. But Jesus. There was a time in my life when my marriage was failing, that there was no way that this thing was going to fix, but Jesus. There's that one time in my life to where I thought I was going to die, but Jesus. And now you're going to have me question Jesus? I don't think so. And see, we need to look back on the faithfulness of God in our lives. When those questions come up, when those fears come up, because then we can still step out on faith every single time. The experiences that we have in life with God confirm who he is in our lives, and that we need to trust in those things. We need to give our hearts to those things. See, we too easily forget sometimes. What have you done for me lately, Lord? Man, let's not think that way. Let's not be those kind of Christians. So as you have experiences of God in your life, this is my prayer for you. That as you have those God moments, those times when you're in the presence of God and God, or God shows up in your life and does something huge, as you experience God, that you find his salvation. That you find that salvation that Zacchaeus found on that day when he had that encounter with Jesus on the road. It's my prayer that as you experience God, that you allow him to become more in your life and you become less. That you will let him be Lord of your life. That you let his will be done in your life. And that your will and your desires take a back seat and allow God's to be number one in your life. It's my prayer that as you experience Jesus in your life, that you find that the healing that you need. That spiritual healing that you need. That physical healing that you need. That emotional healing that you need. There's some people that have been scarred so bad you think there's no way that I could ever trust again. Hey, let God heal that. If you allow those things to hold you back, then that hinders the supernatural in your life. Let God heal that heart of yours. And it's my prayer that as you experience God in your life, that your faith is solidified, that you begin to expect the supernatural. See, the supernatural shouldn't be some of this random weird stuff that happens every once in a while. We should expect the supernatural in our lives. We should expect Jesus to show up and do some things in our lives because we're living in faith. We're taking steps of faith. We're putting our trust in Him. And then as we trust Him, we expect the supernatural to happen in our lives. But we got to be willing to step out of the boat. So my question today is, can you trust God with the impossible? Can you trust God enough to do the supernatural in your life? Lots of times our minds get in the way. Our thinking gets in the way. What if, what if, what if? Well, what if Peter questioned Jesus in that moment? What if the fear hit him? See, Peter did sink. Did y'all notice that in the story? He walked on water, but he did sink. Why? Because he started to look around him and see the stuff going on, and he got into fear again. There's going to be times that we step out on faith and that we begin to be like, oh, I'm out of my element now. I don't know what's going on, and God's going to have to save us. But you know what? Keep taking those steps of faith. Keep trusting God. Keep standing on His Word, and you will see the supernatural in your life. Father, we love You today. God, thank You. God, that You're still the God of the supernatural. God, You're still the God who brings healing. You're still the God that brings life. God, You still want to do miracles in our life. God, help us to have a heart of expectation for those things. God, most of all, help us to trust You in the next step in our life, in the next step of our faith, that as You call, we hear and we obey. We thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Prayer team, come forward. Maybe today you're facing an impossible situation and you need the supernatural today. Man, we got a prayer team up here ready to pray with you. Come and reach out in faith and say, God, I need You to do something because it's impossible for me. But God, I'm trusting You. Let's worship today.